I'm Bill Littlefield, ahead on Only a Game, gambling on the NBA then and now. But first, the Dallas Mavericks rallied again in the fourth quarter on Thursday and won Game 5 of the NBA Finals by a score of 112-103. Joining me now to talk about the Mavericks and their chance to earn their first ever NBA title is Jean-Jacques Taylor of the Dallas Morning News. Jean-Jacques, welcome back to Only a Game.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Once again, the Miami Heat held a fourth-quarter lead, and once again, they let it slip away. Where did LeBron James and the Heat disappear to at the end of Game 5?
The Heat don't have an offense. They score all of their points in transition, and at the end of the game, you don't get those opportunities. Whereas the Mavericks are running an offense. Everything's going through Dirk, and they're driving, penetrating, and trying to finish at the rim or kicking it out to their shooters. And so the Mavericks are getting the shots that they want. And so what has happened is it's become a self-fulfilling prophecy. No matter what the score is in the fourth quarter, the Mavericks think they can come back, whether they eventually do or not. And the other team now knows no lead is safe. Whatever we get up, here come the Mavericks. So when you put all that together, I think it's no surprise that they're winning the fourth quarter and that they've put themselves in a position to win a championship that nobody thought they would win, including Mark Cuban and Rick Carlisle, when the season started.
After Thursday morning shoot-around, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James were caught on camera coughing and laughing, apparently mocking Dirk Nowitzki, who's recently played despite having a very high fever as well as an injured finger. I wonder if that was a wise choice by James and Wade.
Well, I mean, it was funny, but I'm not a guy who believes in bulletin board material. I'm not a guy who believes that, oh, they mocked Dirk, and so Dirk sat up there and saw that, and he came and played with even more focus and intensity. This is the finals. This is not about talk. This is about play and performance, and so I thought it was amusing, and all bulletin board material does is if you win, it gives the other team a chance to talk smack after the game. So to me, it wasn't that big a deal outside of being amusing and getting a lot of YouTube hits.
You mentioned that much of the Mavericks' offense has gone through Dirk Nowitzki, but he's had a good deal of help. Tell me a little bit about the cast of characters that's helped him out.
Well, that's part of the problem early was he wasn't getting any help. When they lost game one and game three, it's because, in part, Jason Terry went scoreless in the fourth quarter. In their three wins, he scored 8 points in each game, and he has an all-around game that, when he's on it, is very beneficial to the Mavericks. The Mavericks are a team that doesn't really have that one, that normal second scoring option. They rely on a lot of different guys to do it. Sometimes it's J.J. Barea, who's a point guard, got inserted into the starting lineup in game four, and his ability to break down the Heat's defense, get in the lane, has really helped the Mavericks. So they've had multiple scoring options all year, and when they win, it's because they're getting various contributions from a lot of different guys outside of Dirk.
Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle played in three NBA finals as a member of the Boston Celtics, and he won a ring in 1986, albeit as a bit player. Is he a championship-caliber coach, in your opinion?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, when you look at the moves he's made, he took Jet Terry out of game five because he missed a couple of screens on a play with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Benched him, told him, you need to refocus, then I'll put you back in there. A minute later, he put him in there, and Jet played wonderfully down the stretch. And he made a bold move when he put J.J. Barea in the starting lineup after J.J. had struggled. So he's made all the right moves. Guys are making him look good, but his ability to make other players accountable is why he's done a terrific job.
How about those Dallas fans? How are they dealing with the reality that they might be witnessing a championship run by the Mavericks?
Oh, I think they're trying. I would say if you talk to fans, that they're trying to be much like the players and much like the coaches. They're trying to stay in the moment. I don't think just because you're up 3-2, and going back to Miami, that anybody in Dallas thinks, oh, this one's over. It's just a matter of which game we win. I think the crowd and the fans know that it wouldn't take very much. I mean, these games are all going down to the last 2 minutes. So just like the Mavericks have been on the good side three times, there's nothing to say that they go to Miami and with Miami playing at home, where your role players typically play better, that they can't win two games. I mean, I don't think there'd be anybody shocked at all if the Heat won in seven.
What about you? What's your pick with Game 6 on Sunday and, if necessary, Game 7 on Tuesday? Who comes out on top?
when the series started, I picked the Heat in seven because it's kind of played out the way I thought it would. I thought Dallas would go back up 3-2. But I think if you had to ask me today, I'd say I'd still pick the Heat in seven. But the games have been so close that nothing would surprise me. And all the pressure now is on the Heat. I mean, they're the ones that are expected to win. The Mavericks can play free and easy. And I'm telling you, if the fourth quarter comes around and it's another 2 or 3 point ball game, the Mavericks believe they can win. And I think the Heat are going to be hoping that they can hold on.
Jean-Jacques Taylor writes about sports for the Dallas Morning News. Jean-Jacques, thank you very much for joining me.
Always a pleasure, my friend.